WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This week on Viewpoints.
While there certainly are harms out there, we're throwing out the potential benefits that can also occur to people who want to try to use social media responsibly with their children.
Why did Australia pass a law banning social media for kids? Then,
they finally have decided that I'm not waiting anymore. I am doing that thing that I've always wanted to do, and that in many occasions tends to be travel.
More women are stepping outside their comfort zone and embracing solo travel. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
Whether or not and how much young adults should use social media has been a controversial topic since the rise of platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and X. Unlike previous generations, most Americans under age 35 have never known a world without these apps. While today's kids grow up immersed in the digital world, some argue that their access to these platforms should be more tightly controlled. And now governments have started to take action. In fact, one country just passed a landmark law restricting children's social media use.
Australia just recently passed into law a bill that would essentially ban people under 16 from engaging with social media of various kinds. There's no carve out. You can't get a note from a parent or something like that. There's no way for people under 16 in Australia to legally access social media. And social media companies are required by law now to sort of police their platforms to prevent children from getting on.
That's David Insera, Fellow for Free Expression and Technology at the Cato Institute. The law, which is planned to take effect this year, will force tech giants like TikTok and Meta to implement restrictions designed to keep minors off their platforms. Insera says failure to do so could result in fines totaling tens of millions of dollars a year. According to a poll by the Australian Broadcasting Company, 60% of Australians supported the ban before it became law. What were their concerns? Julie Skelfo, founder and executive director of Mothers Against Media Addiction, says unrestricted social media access is affecting the mental health of young adults.
The rise of constant access to smartphones, social media, and the internet is causing the mental health crisis in children and adolescents. In the United States, for example, we have been in what the American Academy of Pediatrics calls a national emergency in youth mental health since 2021. What's happening on social media is that the way the algorithms have been written is to amplify the most extreme, the most possible harmful content to children. And kids are seeing things that no child should be exposed to, like violence, self-harm, unrealistic beauty standards. And they're seeing it in such quantity and frequency that it's actually replacing healthier experiences that they would be having if they were socializing in person with other friends.
In the U.S., there's been an alarming rise of depression, anxiety, and other mental health disorders among young adults. According to Yale School of Medicine, suicide deaths among 10 to 24-year-olds have risen 62% from 2007 to 2021. Researchers point to several different factors for this rise, including the COVID pandemic, substance abuse, and bullying. But they're also raising alarm bells about the potential mental health effects of social media. In 2023, the American Psychological Association issued a health advisory on social media use in adolescents. Skelfo shares similar concerns and says these apps are fueling an addiction to screens that may have long-lasting effects.
We are seeing that teenagers today are spending as much as 9 hours a day on a screen. I mean, think about that. 9 hours a day all week is more than a full-time job. So all of that time that they're experiencing life through screens, that is displaced time that they would have been experiencing life through interpersonal interactions. So what's happening is kids are not getting the building blocks they need to learn how to relate to other people, to learn how to conduct themselves. And we're hearing even from employers, for example, that the young generation doesn't have basic skills like looking people in the eye and learning how to de-escalate a conflict.
Despite the downsides, it's important to recognize that social media is not all bad for every teenager. For kids with family living far away or friends at different schools, these platforms provide an easy way to stay connected. Social media can also be a vital source of support as many young LGBTQ individuals look for support. While there are pros and cons to adolescent social media use, Insera believes that restricting these apps should be a parent's decision, not the government's.
If you're a parent who wants to empower your kid to responsibly use some element of social media, you don't have a choice anymore. So we've simply removed that choice from parents and just said the state will govern your child in this area, which I think is a bad approach. And it will, while there certainly are harms out there, we're throwing out the potential benefits that can also occur to people who want to try to use social media responsibly with their children. And that should be up to every individual parent to decide how they want to do that. That choice is now gone.
Skelfo, however, disagrees with the idea that parents are able to protect their kids from potential harm. A mom of three, she says that even the most proactive parents can't control for everything on social media. She argues that legislators need to step in and regulate these platforms the same way they regulate addictive substances like alcohol and tobacco.
Big tech is using the exact same playbook that was used by big tobacco. And once we realized how bad cigarettes were, big tobacco said, it's not our job to make sure people are healthy. That's up to individuals to do. There is no way a parent can be responsible for monitoring absolutely everything their child sees online. And just like an individual parent can't make sure the roads are safe or can't make sure the food supply is safe, we need solutions that are built in and help make sure the entire system has safeguards for children.
Many parents agree with Skelfo that more guardrails are needed, but what might they look like? Once the Australian ban takes effect, Sincera says it's likely all social media users will have to provide some form of government ID to prove their age. Although companies are promising to keep this data safe and secure, it's possible personal information could get into the wrong hands. And Sarah also warns that these age verification measures could restrict free speech, which affects both kids and adults.
Even adults who are engaging in anonymous speech online, those users' speech, that anonymous speech might no longer be anonymous if the information gets hacked, if there's something goes wrong on the cybersecurity side. And so every bit of anonymous speech that we care about, whether it be whistleblowers, whether it be dissidents, whether it be just minority groups that want to speak up on a difficult issue in one way or another, all of that speech, which is easier when it's anonymous, all that speech is now potentially something that could be outed if something goes wrong on the data systems of the companies. That's a pretty big problem for speech, and it affects all adults, not just the kids who are just excluded from the platforms entirely.
Skelfo says potential security concerns are worth the risk if it means protecting more young adults.
Some of the social media companies said, we don't want to collect that data. It's a privacy issue. Well, guess what? When their internal documents were revealed, it showed that they already know their algorithms are so sophisticated that they can tell when a child lies and says they're 13, but they're actually 11. And they even collected data on how often our 11-year-olds or 12-year-olds were so addicted to Instagram that they were up at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. on school nights because they couldn't put it away. So yes, there is some sacrifice of privacy if we age gate certain products, but I think it's a small price to pay for ensuring that our children are kept safe and putting an end to the national emergency in youth mental health.
Australia is not the only country to consider legislation around youth and social media. In July of last year, the United States Senate passed the Kids Online Safety Act with bipartisan support. The bill lays out guidelines to shield children from harmful material online and requires platforms to disable addicting features like infinite scrolling and personalized content feeds for minors. With Australia's social media ban for youth taking effect soon, many are wondering if the U.S. will follow suit with similar legislation. To find out more about Julie Scalfo, David and Sarah, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galante. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, why more women are choosing to travel alone when Viewpoints returns.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Charmin Ultra Strong. You can use less, better than the rest. Charmin Ultra Strong. Your booty past the clean text. Yeah. Salmon wave texture, it's the best. Study up, teach a lesson on fresh. Your booty past the clean text.
Yes, sir.
Charmin Ultra Strong.
Charmin Ultra Strong with diamond weave texture cleans better than the leading one-ply brand, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
What's better than one win? Three wins. With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
So the thing no one tells you about periods is that your flow changes every day, and so should your tampon size. Tampax has 5 absorbencies to match your changing flow. If it's uncomfortable to remove, go down a size. If it leaks, go up a size. And only Tampax has a leak guard braid to help give you up to 100% leak and odor-free protection, all-day comfort and protection for up to 8 hours for under $5 a month, based on average U.S. consumer usage at manufacturer suggested price. However, pricing is at the sole discretion of the retailer. Excludes account pack.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
Travel has long been a way to escape routine, find independence, and explore cultures outside our own. Almost 2 decades ago, Elizabeth Gilbert's memoir, Eat, Pray, Love, brought solo travel into the spotlight. The book was a worldwide success. More than 12 million copies were sold, and it was translated into more than 30 languages. Today, in the age of social media, travel influencers act as modern tour guides, sharing images of themselves in exotic locations across the globe. And now, women from all walks of life are packing their bags and embracing the freedom of solo travel.
What has perhaps, I think, been the biggest driver is this visibility. Seeing more and more women online talking about their solo trips and talking about this, the goods and the bads, and bringing more awareness to the fact that it is a travel option and you can absolutely do it. Whereas maybe 10 years before, people would think, like, traveling solo, like, is that even a possibility, right?
That's Mar Podges, co-founder of the international travel company Solo Female Travelers. According to the nonprofit organization Road Scholar, 85% of solo travelers are women. It's also estimated that women spent around $125 billion on solo travel in 2023. That's according to Condor Ferries. Since 2015, Podges and her business partner have built a Facebook community of more than 400,000 women from 100 countries who exchange tips on solo travel. Her company also offers tour packages where women traveling alone can join groups of other female travelers. Podges herself has gone to more than 70 countries on her own. So, What is it about this kind of travel that she enjoys?
You are just far more likely to meet people and make connections when you're by yourself. You are more likely to notice what's happening around you and to make connections, maybe eye contact or to talk to people, because you're not engrossed into conversation with the person next to you, right? So I think that this side effect is also what makes solo travel way more enriching for me.
For many people, the idea of taking a solo trip can be intimidating. Gloria Hill usually travels with friends or family from her home in Virginia. A visit to Tanzania was on her bucket list for many years, but she wasn't able to get anyone to commit to the trip. But in September of last year, she decided to take the plunge and embark on her first solo adventure. Hill says she was a little apprehensive about traveling alone, especially when she first arrived.
Usually there's someone else that's looking out for me. And so just when I got there, I was just like, oh my goodness, anything could happen to me and no one would know. And I was just concerned about like health-wise and just logistic-wise and all of the things that you can be concerned with when it comes to travel. But once I got there, all of those fears just went away.
Hill says she especially enjoyed learning about the culture and connecting with the local community while she was in Tanzania.
I think travel is just important as far as learning more about different cultures, different points of view. Tanzania was a really great place to go for solo travel. The people there were very friendly, very hospitable. I felt very safe in that country. Traveling solo, it gave me a lot more independence. It gave me a much more knowledge about my own strength.
While interest in solo travel among women is growing, safety remains a concern for many. The U.S. State Department warns that women may face additional health and security risks while traveling. As a result, there are countless online resources and forums offering tips and advice for women in different countries. Podges says that for this reason, many women choose to begin with solo group trips, which provide the support of a larger group while still allowing for the freedom and independence of being an individual traveler.
It gets recommended in the group a lot when members will say, I want to travel to this place, but I don't have anybody to go with, and I'm anxious about doing it by myself. A lot of other members will answer, why don't you join a group tour? And I've heard this also from a lot of our guests, that on their first tour, they were happier and more at ease and more comfortable joining a group tour where they didn't have to plan the itinerary and where they were already going to be in a set environment that's safer and more comfortable and more convenient and more predictable, rather than having all of the variables up in the air.
While some hotels and tour companies are beginning to market to the growing audience of solo travelers, Podges says the majority of the travel industry still primarily targets couples or families. Sometimes there are even extra charges imposed on people traveling alone.
And this kind of comes historically from the cruise industry, because of course you have a certain availability of rooms. And so you want to maximize the number of people in those rooms. So selling a room to one person means that you're only having that one person spending. So you want two people. If you're only going to have one, you need to charge them a supplement, which historically, in the case of cruise ships, tends to be 200%. You have to pay for two people.
While the industry is working to catch up, women are continuing to pursue freedom, self-care, and self-discovery through travel. Podges says this is especially true for women over 60 who might not want to wait on their travel dreams.
But now suddenly they are empty nesters or widowed or divorced, or there's some traumatic experience that has happened in their life, which could be anything. And they finally have decided that I'm not waiting anymore. I am doing that thing that I've always wanted to do. And that in many occasions tends to be travel. Taking that trip to Italy that my husband always promised he would take me on, or, you know, that trip to Australia that has always been on my bucket list, or this, I've always wanted to see the Northern Lights, or I've always wanted to go on safari. And why do I need to wait on other people to go on safari or for somebody to take me? I can just do it by myself.
One advantage to traveling in the digital age is that there is no shortage of options. Whether you're after fast-paced adventures, calm beach retreats, or cultural experiences, there are plenty of resources online to help you choose. For people who are ready to pursue their passion for travel and embark on new adventures but are unsure of where to begin, Podges and Gloria Hill have this advice.
Start by keeping some of the variables constant so that you don't just like make it all different. You go to a different country with a different language, with a different culture, in a different time zone, everything different. No, keep some of the things constant by maybe taking a short weekend trip to a city in your own country first. See how you feel. See what things are challenging to you. It will be the same culture. It will be the same language, probably the same time zone. And so some of the things are already constant and you can focus on the things that are not constant, which is maybe eating by yourself, finding your ways around, meeting new people, you know, discovering a new city. So start small by something in your own country.
If you have somewhere that you want to go, but you're scared to go by yourself and you don't have a group of people that are willing to go with you, then find a group. There's so many places out there between social media and in-person events. You can find a group. I mean, I have a travel agent and she creates all these packages for people. And it's like people that read certain books and people that go to certain festivals and they then plan a trip. It's so, I mean, like, so I feel like it's easier than you probably think.
To find out more about Gloria Hill, Mar Podges, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Erica Linney. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
You okay?
Sorry, I can't sleep with this cough.
Sounds like you need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with NyQuil VapoCool. It's NyQuil plus a rush of Vicks Vapors.
Whoa.
So you're ready to get some sleep? Thank you, NyQuil VapoCool.
NyQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing nighttime coughing, aching, fever, best sleep with a cold medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. When it comes to parenting, there's no one-size-fits-all approach, but a new study suggests that humor might be a powerful tool to have in your parenting toolkit. According to a pilot study led by researchers from Penn State, parents who used humor while their kids were growing up were viewed more positively by their adult children. The study, which was published in the PLOS ONE journal, gathered data from more than 300 people ages 18 to 45. Researchers discovered that 71% of the respondents believe humor can be an effective parenting tool. The majority also said they would use humor-based techniques with their own kids. Dr. Benjamin Levi, senior authority of the study and a professor at Penn State College of Medicine, explains that humor can help parents reduce stress and help build cognitive and emotional flexibility. He points out that parenting can be stressful, and humor is a great way to ease the tension and make those tough times feel a little more manageable for everyone involved. While this data is still emerging, one thing that's clear, as the old saying goes, laughter really might be the best medicine. According to the Mayo Clinic, laughter can improve mood, stimulate your organs, relieve stress, and boost your overall satisfaction. So why not try injecting a little more humor into your parenting routine? As long as the jokes aren't at your kids' expense, go ahead and throw in those corny quips, classic dad jokes, or even a harmless prank now and then. It could help make the daily grind just a little bit lighter. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. Stay tuned. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. In the summer of 2023, Christopher Nolan released Oppenheimer, a juggernaut of a film that grossed almost $1 billion and won the Oscar for Best Picture. Just like when his 2017 war film Dunkirk exceeded expectations at the box office and with critics, or when Nolan released The Dark Knight in 2008 or Inception in 2010, Oppenheimer sparked discussions about what exactly brings audiences to theaters in droves for Christopher Nolan films. Well, the recent IMAX re-release of Nolan's 2014 space epic Interstellar presented a great opportunity for me and millions of dollars of ticket sales worth of others to consider that question all over again. Interstellar has always been an absolute feast for the senses. With large swaths of the movie shot directly onto IMAX film, some of the biggest, most heart-pounding set pieces imaginable, and one of the greatest film scores ever recorded, Interstellar, like all Nolan movies, was made to be enjoyed as big and as loud as possible. And ultimately, that's what sets Nolan apart from other filmmakers. His movies always feel like events. Seeing a Nolan film in IMAX is more like going to the best concert you've ever experienced in your life than it is like just watching an hour or two of so-called content. He puts big ideas and big performances into motion and then captures them in the highest resolution possible. The fact is, Nolan films being shown in IMAX theaters will always draw a crowd because he uses every tool at his disposal to fill even the biggest canvases imaginable. Interstellar is an incredible film, and that remains true at home. But some things are just best served in certain venues. And those who went to see Oppenheimer or Interstellar in IMAX will tell you that format simply puts Christopher Nolan's work over the top every time. I'm Evan Rook.
You carry a lot. The needs of your family and friends, the responsibilities of work and home, and that doesn't stop when your period starts. New Always Ultra Thin pads are designed to keep up with your busy life. When an unexpected gush hits, you need to trust that your pad has your back and your flow. With new and improved Rapid Dry technology, Always Ultra Thin now absorbs 3 times faster than the leading size 2-store brand pad, so you can feel cleaner, drier, and fresher. Always Ultra Thin. Always gush ready.
What's better than one win? 3 wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
That's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
I'm Chad Holmstroing, former Newman Catholic head boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself, every Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Each week, we'll recap the action in high school basketball and hockey and look ahead to the coming week's matchups. Plus, we'll have special guests. Each week, we'll have an opportunity to sit down with one of our area head coaches to find out more about their team and their program. And also, we'll be joined by one of our area student athletes each week. We'll talk about their sports, talk about school, and a whole bunch more as well. It's the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction, every Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
So, how are the kids?
Well, Emily made the honor roll.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, we're really proud of her. Tyler, on the other hand, though.
What's going on?
He's been moody lately, just feeling down and not like himself.
Oh, we've been there. Nick was struggling last spring. He was so anxious and stressed.
Really? What helped?
Well, he joined the soccer team. And ever since, he's been a lot happier. He has more energy, he's less stressed, and he's definitely in a better mood at home. It's made a huge difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting out of the house, he's getting some exercise, and he's off his phone for once. It's been good for his mental health.
Sounds like it's been good for your mental health, too.
Participating in Wisconsin high school sports improves students' physical and mental health. Encourage your son or daughter to get involved. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This week on Viewpoints.
For first-time homebuyers, it can be really disheartening to look at the mortgage market right now, to look at the home prices, and just imagine being able to purchase a home and seeing that slip out of reach.
First-time home buyers are on the sidelines as more people are priced out of the housing market. Then,
Alzheimer's disease affects the most complicated organ of the body, the brain. We know a lot about the brain, but there's a lot that we don't know about the brain.
What is there still to learn about Alzheimer's disease? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Art tells a story, your story, and inspires others in your community to do the same. AARP is celebrating the undeniable impact and contributions of Black art and artists everywhere. We're thrilled to celebrate these creators over 50. Through their work and persistence, they make society a better place by bringing us all closer together. Learn more at aarp.org/blackcommunity.
I spray and scrub, but the soap scum in my bathtub is still there.
I spray and scrub, but the burnt sauce on my stovetop sticks around.
Sprays can leave grime behind, but Mr. Clean Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser combines the scrubbing power of an eraser with the cleaning power of Dawn to melt away tough messes on contact.
Just wet, squeeze, and erase.
Stop spraying, start erasing, and clean with more magic than ever with Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
The American dream of homeownership has long symbolized stability, success, and financial security. Owning property can be a lasting investment and a source of pride, yet for many Americans, the hope of buying a home may feel increasingly out of reach. After a slow year in 2023, existing home sales for this year are on track to drop to their lowest level in nearly 30 years.
That's the last time that home sales volume really was near where we are right now. At that time, it was 3.85 million. Last year, it broke 4 million. This year, we expect home sales to break 4 million, but it's still lagging. And I think it's important because from that period to today, we have 70 million more people in this country. And we're still having the same level of home sales. It truly is much lower than where we should be.
That's Jessica Louts, Vice President of Research and Deputy Chief Economist at the National Association of Realtors. She says the last time we saw sales of existing homes drop this low was 1995.
In that time period, in all honesty, I don't know that a 1995 buyer would say it, but homes were much more affordable. They were to where income is. Today, housing affordability is really the struggle. We know that home prices continue to go up. This year, interest rates have come down, but they're still in the sixes, and that's making it difficult for housing affordability. If we combine those two numbers, the qualifying income for a home buyer, even with 20% down, is over six figures, and that's just hard for so many Americans to fathom.
Lout says that in addition to high interest rates, high home prices are also keeping buyers on the sidelines. Nationally, the median existing home price has gone up about 50% in the last 5 years. That's according to the National Association of Realtors.
Really, it's become so unaffordable for your typical American to be able to afford a home. And incomes have been growing, but they're not keeping pace at where housing costs are. And so this is the affordability has become so out of reach, and the lack of inventory too. And that's what's really pushing up home prices.
With higher interest rates and lower inventory driving up prices, many feel they're being pushed out of the market.
Rodonna Boyd is a real estate agent in southeastern Virginia. She has seen firsthand how low inventory has caused buyers, especially first-time home buyers, to struggle finding their dream home.
We end up running into either just not enough homes to look at, or once we find a home that a buyer likes, they end up in this kind of a bidding war sometimes because the best houses, because there are not many out here on the market, they may have a number of people that's, you know, that's going for that one particular house. But definitely low inventory is playing a part in it.
Lout says when it comes to lack of inventory, we may still be feeling the effects of the COVID pandemic. And before that, the Great Recession in 2008.
At that time period, builders really retracted. In fact, some builders merged, smaller builders, you know, left the market altogether. And what we really have seen from that time period is a number of factors that have continued. So the lack of land, the availability of lots to actually build multiple units on, as opposed to one large single family home. The cost of building has gone up. So all of the material costs, skilled labor, hard to find it. Building had been underproducing since the Great Recession. And then the pandemic hit.
When the pandemic disrupted supply chains and limited workforce availability, Lout says the Federal Reserve dropped interest rates to stimulate the economy.
They really wanted to have more spending in the economy to pull us out of the pandemic recession that we were in. And so that did stimulate home sales activity, and they were ready to spend in the economy. And so that really did drive purchasing.
Boyd remembers what 2021 and 2022 were like as a real estate agent.
Interest rates dropped so low during that time that the buyers came out in droves. And because of that, and inventory was still low, but now you have way more buyers because of the affordability, because of the low interest rates. It kind of got a little crazy.
Eventually, Lout says the Federal Reserve had to slow down lending, a decision that we're still feeling the impacts of today. Despite economic challenges that have left many feeling discouraged, Boyd says she's seen one specific group capitalizing on the market, real estate investors.
I'm having lots of success with my investors that are going out here and they're buying up the homes. And then some buyers are a little afraid because of the interest rates, but the investors are not because they know they're going to get equity in it. But when you are a person that's buying it to live in it, sometimes there is this educational learning curve that, hey, even if the interest rate is high, this house is going to go up. And it's harder to help the owner-occupant grasp that than it is the investor. So the investor comes in and they just snatch up the properties, unfortunately.
Lout has seen similar trends and says the type of buyer often determines what kind of success they're having in the housing market.
I think for potential buyers, for first-time home buyers, it can be really disheartening to look at the mortgage market right now, to look at the home prices, and just imagine being able to purchase a home and seeing that slip out of reach. We know that for our recent read of first-time home buyers, that it dropped to the lowest level we've seen in our data dating back to 1981. Last year. And for repeat buyers, though, they continue to gain housing equity. And so with that, the share of all cash buyers who are purchasing without a mortgage to an all-time high. So a very, very divided market.
Despite high prices and low inventory, Boyd encourages first-time home buyers to hold on to their hopes of home ownership, even if that first house you see isn't your dream house.
A major avenue of wealth in America is real estate. Owning real estate. It is a way that you build wealth. If you are willing to use your first house as a stepping stone, when we are in a market like we're in, where there's limited inventory, choose maybe what's not perfect and ideal so that you can get your foot in the game.
The economy and housing market are always subject to change, and buyers may find hope in recent predictions. The National Association of Realtors says home sales are likely to rise by 10% over the next 2 years.
Our labor market is pretty strong. We know that we have been adding jobs. The interest rates have been coming down largely from where they are a year ago, though still higher. Home prices are not going up at the same pace. They're still coming up, and that's good news for homeowners, but they're not going up at those double-digit paces that we had seen, and that's a good thing.
To find out more about Jessica Lout, Rodonna Boyd, and all our featured guests, visit ViewpointsRadio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Erica Linney. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One VentureX card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy, plus get access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Coming up, researchers are uncovering more about the causes of Alzheimer's disease. But what questions remain when Viewpoints returns?
Do you lay awake at night worrying about what to buy everyone on your holiday list? Yeah, it's stressful. And half the time you don't even get the right thing. Well, Skechers is here for a holiday rescue with hands-free Skechers Slip-ins, the right gift for everyone on your list. Think about it. People love their shoes. And once they try hands-free Skechers Slip-ins, it takes that love to a whole new level. Why? Because with hands-free Skechers Slip-ins, you just step into them and they're on. There's no bending down, no touching your shoes, no retying laces. Plus, Skechers Slip-ins are perfect for everyone. Moms, dads, grandparents, kids, friends, coworkers. Just sneak into their closet, get their shoe size, and you're good to go. Plus, they come in everyone's favorite styles and colors, from sneakers to casual shoes, even winter boots. And they look so stylish, and they're the most comfortable shoes they'll ever wear. So, this season, save time, quit your worrying, and get everyone on your list hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. Holiday crisis averted. Now go get some rest. Find them for the holidays at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Art tells a story, your story, and inspires others in your community to do the same. AARP is celebrating the undeniable impact and contributions of Black art and artists everywhere. We're thrilled to celebrate these creators over 50. Through their work and persistence, they make society a better place by bringing us all closer together. Learn more at aarp.org/blackcommunity. Alzheimer's disease is the seventh leading cause of death in our country. In 2022, more than 120,000 Americans died from the disease. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For several decades, scientists have been puzzled by its origins and debilitating effects. In fact, the first described case was more than 100 years ago, in 1906, by German psychiatrist Alois Alzheimer. For years, he studied a 50-year-old female patient who was suffering from paranoia, confusion, and memory loss, symptoms that we would describe today as dementia. While scientists have grasped a basic understanding of Alzheimer's disease, the most common type of dementia, many believe we've barely scratched the surface.
Alzheimer's disease affects the most complicated organ of the body, the brain. We know a lot about the brain, but there's a lot that we don't know about the brain. We're struggling to learn how the brain functions. Our sensations, our impressions of ourselves, our personalities, our thoughts, our memories, consciousness itself, it's all dependent on the brain. And yet, we know very little about the mechanisms of the brain that support these functions.
That's Dr. Robert Vassar, the scientific director of behavioral neurology at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. He's also the director of the university's Alzheimer's Disease Research Center within the Meslem Center for Cognitive Neurology and Alzheimer's Disease. Vassar believes there have been a lot of failures in clinical trials because scientists were treating at the wrong stage of the disease.
Once symptoms take over, memory symptoms and dementia, there is a substantial amount of damage to the brain, loss of neurons, and brain atrophy, particularly in regions of the brain that are important for memory, like the hippocampus. Now, once the neurons die, they can't come back. And so once they're gone for good. And that's a problem for people that are already diagnosed. They already have damage, ongoing damage to the brain.
But recent technological advances now allow researchers to detect Alzheimer's disease earlier and explore the role of preventative treatment in clinical trial patients.
We've learned slowly that Alzheimer's disease takes many decades to manifest itself. And there's a very long period of time, maybe 10, 20, or 30 years, where the disease is brewing in the brain, and yet there are absolutely no symptoms. And the people having this going on in their brains are on the road to Alzheimer's, but they don't know it. We really didn't understand that because in the past, the only way we could study Alzheimer's disease in people would be at the end of their lives after they passed away and we were permitted to do a brain autopsy. Now, in the last 10 years or so, we've had some very interesting developments in brain scanning. We are now able to scan the brains of living patients and see these pathologies, the amyloid pathology, occurring over time in living individuals.
The idea that amyloid plaques building up in the brain may be a root cause of Alzheimer's is called the amyloid cascade hypothesis. But while this theory has been widely accepted for decades, there's been a great deal of controversy because it's led to a lot of dead ends in large-scale research and clinical trials. Attempts to treat Alzheimer's by going after the plaque buildup just hasn't consistently worked in patients so far.
I can understand the frustration of both, you know, researchers as well as patients and caregivers that there have been all these failures. I'm frustrated too. But I think the point is that we shouldn't now throw the baby out with the bathwater because, I mean, these are very well-developed amyloid drugs that really engage the target and remove amyloid from the brain. They do their job very well. We just need to know the appropriate stage of disease at which individuals can be treated. And so my argument would be go well before there are symptoms and before there's damage to the brain.
Dr. Carl Harrop is on the other side of the debate over amyloid and how Alzheimer's research has been tackled over the last few decades. Harrop is a professor of neurobiology and an investigator in the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine.
My estimation is that we know virtually nothing about what causes Alzheimer's disease. So I think we stopped listening to our own data. We kept hoping that we could just ignore all the inconsistencies and keep plowing ahead because the enthusiasm was so high. But if we really look at the data, we have yet to create a mouse that gets anything resembling human Alzheimer's disease, and that's a big problem for us because it cuts the knees out from under any attempt, any experimental attempt to try and find a treatment, a therapy, a cure.
Harrop argues that another problem in the field is the expanded definition of Alzheimer's. He says the requirement that there must be amyloid deposits in the brain is throwing scientists off. Instead, there needs to be a bigger push to investigate other potential causes for the disease.
I quote an advisor on one of our external advisory boards who simply said quite flatly that if you aren't studying amyloid, you aren't studying Alzheimer's. And not only is that wrong on its face, it is symptomatic of a psychology that requires not only that you promote the use of anti-amyloid therapies, but that you actively suppress investigation into other potential causes of the disease. I think the tide is turning, and we're beginning to look at other factors like inflammation, like vascular problems, and myelination. And we're beginning to see the problem of late-life dementia in a more holistic concept that includes the biology of aging and the incredible heterogeneity and variability from person to person.
Vassar says it's fair to target other theories and try varying treatments based on different stages of the disease. Inflammation, for example, is one aspect of Alzheimer's that shows promise due to the recent discovery of a mutation in a gene called TREM2. This gene is expressed in special immune cells in the brain called microglia.
What occurs is that the microglia surround the amyloid plaques and they react to it. And this reaction is what they're trying to do is remove it. Remove the amyloid from the brain and get rid of it because they recognize it as a foreign body. But in the process, they're not able to really get rid of it because the amyloid is so indigestible for them. And what they are doing is also producing a lot of inflammatory molecules. And as we know from inflammation throughout the body, inflammation causes pain. It's important for healing, but chronic inflammation can produce damage to tissues. And that is exactly what seems to be happening in the Alzheimer brain.
While the debate over Alzheimer's research rages on, every 65 seconds, one more person is diagnosed with the disease in the U.S. alone. Right now, an estimated 6.7 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's. And this number is set to double over the next few decades as the population skews older. The progress being made today to examine other causes and focus more on preventative treatment will hopefully save millions to come. To learn more about Alzheimer's disease and research, as well as our guests, Dr. Robert Vassar and Dr. Carl Harrop, head to viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment originally aired in October of 2021 and was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our studio engineer is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join our growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
That smells good, Ma. What you making?
Just a little something. Collard greens, cornbread, fried chicken, and peach cobbler. Some leftovers.
Some leftovers? Listen, I've been meaning to talk to you about some new COVID information I saw online.
See, because you're always on that phone.
I'm serious. I read that 3 out of 4 adults in the United States have a high risk factor for severe COVID-19. And Black folks like us with certain conditions like diabetes, heart disease, mental health conditions, or being 50 and older, like you, are at high risk.
Boy, you sound like a commercial.
I'm just saying. I know you love your ginger teas and essential oils. But remember, there are treatment options for COVID-19 if you ever get it again.
I promise, if I get sick again, I'll call my doctor to ask about my options. I love you.
I love you, too. I'm glad we had this talk.
Me, too. Now get out of my kitchen.
All right.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. How are you planning to ring in the new year? Here in the U.S., we often set off fireworks and toast with champagne, but each country celebrates a bit differently with various customs and traditions. In several cultures, it's believed that eating round foods will bring prosperity. In the Philippines, kids and adults each eat 12 round fruits on New Year's Day to ensure a full year of abundance. Travel to Greece, and right after midnight, each household smashes a round pomegranate on their doorstep. If the seeds are spread far apart, the new year will be filled with good luck. In Spain, it's tradition to eat 12 grapes in 12 seconds. This ritual stems from an old superstition that says if you skip eating the fruit, your fate will be ruined in the coming year. One grape represents each stroke of midnight. Head north across Europe to Sweden and Norway, and you'll find another food center tradition. Families make rice pudding on New Year's Eve and fill the serving bowl with one almond. Whoever gets the nut while eating their pudding is expected to have good luck and fortune in the coming months. Jump over to Denmark, and it gets a bit wild. On New Year's Day, it's customary to break dishes on your doorstep and on a neighbor's door. Simply put, it's a sign of good luck and friendship in the coming year. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Have you ever thrown on an old 90s thriller, something action-packed and a little brain-dead, and thought to yourself, man, they just don't make them like this anymore? By and large, you may be correct, but the exception to that rule is John Collette Serra. He very much does still make them that way. Collette Serra has made a number of banger action thrillers like Nonstop, The Commuter, and Unknown, which all star a late career Liam Neeson outwitting bad guys and fighting his way out of tough spots. Collette Serra is also the man behind The Shallows, a mean, enthralling 90-minute thriller starring Blake Lively as a surfer stuck in the water, trying to outlast a shark who keeps stalking her position. These are the kinds of movies that Collette Serra excels at making. Tight, neatly packed thrillers for adults. Movies that may make you want to wear a smartwatch to track your rising heart rate. His latest film is called Carry On, and it stars Taron Egerton as an airport security guard who is working to thwart a criminal mastermind, played by Jason Bateman, who's trying to sneak an illicit carry-on bag onto a plane. With fun performances, thrilling action, and just a crazy plot that keeps audiences on their toes, Carry On is one straight-to-streamer thriller that's worth checking out. And if you like what you see, then I'd encourage you to dig into Collette Serra's other films. Carry On is now streaming on Netflix. I'm Evan Rook.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Art tells a story, your story, and inspires others in your community to do the same. AARP is celebrating the undeniable impact and contributions of Black art and artists everywhere. We're thrilled to celebrate these creators over 50. Through their work and persistence, they make society a better place by bringing us all closer together. Learn more at aarp.org/blackcommunity.
That's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
I'm Chad Holmstroing, former Newman Catholic head boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself, every Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Each week, we'll recap the action in high school basketball and hockey and look ahead to the coming week's matchups. Plus, we'll have special guests. Each week, we'll have an opportunity to sit down with one of our area head coaches to find out more about their team and their program. And also, we'll be joined by one of our area student athletes each week. We'll talk about their sports, talk about school, and a whole bunch more as well. It's the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction, every Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Local radio thrives when it serves the community. WXCO is no different, and we're looking to add someone to our staff that is well-connected around town. Someone who can help our local businesses increase traffic and their visibility among our audience. From connecting clients with high school sports, local news and weather, or the Chad Holmes Show. If you know local business owners, we'd like to get to know you. If you'd like to know more about this opportunity, send me Chad Holmes a message at chad.holmes@civicmedia.us. That's chad.holmes@civicmedia.us, and let's set up a time to talk.
What does the 50th anniversary of Title IX mean? It means I'm valued, I'm empowered, I can do anything. It means I'll pave the way for every girl who plays high school sports in the future. Just like every female student, coach, official, and administrator blazed the trail for me. Because every student deserves the opportunity to play. Encourage girls you know to participate in Wisconsin high school sports.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It's already dangerous in the plains as a huge winter storm blankets large parts of multiple states. Here's some blunt advice from Kansas Highway Patrol Trooper Ben Gardner.
Get off the roads. Don't be on them, because it's not good, and it might result in something really bad happening.
The storm is now moving into the Ohio Valley. It will reach the mid-Atlantic states tonight. It now costs $9 a day to drive a passenger car into the congested area of Manhattan during peak hours, says CBS's Michael Wallace.
Stuart Cohen with the San Francisco-based transportation group Transform thinks it will work, and other American cities will try it.
It's just a smart way to manage congestion.
Golden Globes on CBS tonight and streaming on Paramount Plus, a preview from our Deborah Rodriguez.
If you go by the nomination count, Netflix Emilia Perez could clean up. It has the most nominations, 10, followed by The Brutalist and Conclave.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.